This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
This is your chance to tell us about some of the things that your favourite dog products, your chance to have your say, war stories. I don't know who's been to war. not me. But I just want to lay down a few little ground rules. Let's be respectful of each other. Let's give maybe some newer people a chance to have a chat if they want to. Annette, El Presidente, has decreed, with my agreement, of course, that if people are comfortable who haven't had the opportunity to say something for this weekend, that we would let the first three people, and not, obviously not just three people, but maybe we give the microphones to some people that haven't had a chance to tell us about something that's important to them, an issue that's important to them. We want to make it a positive kind of discussion as well. So I know that the rideshare issue and the NDIS issue, and there's been, you know, bunches of stuff around that. So unless you have something kind of different to say, we do know all the, you know, a lot of the issues, and everybody's had their say around those issues. So let's open the floor up for some constructive chat. Who wants to go first? And do we have Rovers?
Yes,
I'm... Hello, Rover A and Rover B.
Hi, I'm Diana, and I did want to make a comment about NDIS, so I'm going to totally disrupt what you just said.
That's okay.
But it was a case of... I've had a change in circumstance this year, and this is going to be a bit TMI for a lot of people, but my husband left, and he was a hoarder, so he left me in a house that was full of stuff, so I've used a lot of funding to get support to clear that out, and it's still not done, but I've overshot my budget. So I put in a request for a plan review, and I got a call back going, but you didn't provide any documentation, so we're going to refuse it. Now, my comment to that would be that in business, if you did that, you would rather rapidly lose business. But they're the only place we have to go, so... You know, they'll refuse it. Then we have to start the whole process over again and get any extra documentation, and you go back to the queue, back to the back of the queue. So I think that if we could perhaps maybe ask Jeremy or someone who has an in with the NDIS to perhaps allocate a job number or a ticket number so that when you do gather the extra information that they provide, that they wish you to provide, that they continue the process from where you left off and then you don't go back to the back of the queue.
I've just gone through that myself. Come see me later. Okay. I can talk to you about what I did. No worries. But that's also absolutely open for any organisations who are still here and are working in that space to take it up as a as an issue as well. Any other...
Hi, it's Jeanette. How are you?
You're not a new person. Can you? Can we wait? Can we go to? Is there anybody else that's new that hasn't spoken? Sorry, I don't want to make your comments any less worthwhile, but I'm just following presidential orders.
There's no one else up yet.
Okay, then off you go, Jeanette.
Yep, you've marked it.
Okay, it took 12 months before I actually got to see my local MP, and he actually followed up with an email to the Attorney General. Because I sent an email regarding recklessly endangering our dogs when we're out and about in public, and cars just don't bother stopping it when you're on a crosswalk. And I got a lovely love letter back from the Attorney General saying, no, basically, suck it up, get on with life, and just deal with it. And I don't think that's fair at all, because our dogs, our dog guides are our eyes and our life to be able to get around and about. And to put our dog guides in danger like that, unless they actually get hit by a car, there's no law to protect them.
Thanks, Jeanette. There's some background music. I'm not sure whether we can get that dealt with for people.
That's gone.
Departed.
No magic.
Hi, all right. I wish everybody has $1 million. Is that going to work? No.
Yep.
Sorry. Tried. Any other questions, yep. comments?
Hi, Nadia. It's Claudia.
Hello.
I just want to say thanks for a ripper conference. And I've got I'm downsizing, and I've got a whole heap of stuff that I want to try and get rid of. So,
have you got a toilet harness that would fit Blind John's dog?
If I had a nine, I've got two at home.
Sorry,
and
just
I didn't
thinking.
Bring them. But I have a Julius harness canine size 2 with 2 spare handles. So definitely used, but good for the beach. I have a guide dogs do not pet sign that's good for the old harness. I've got some do not pet actually signs, the Velcro ones and some stuff. I've got 2 Kong Genius secondhand toys, a long lead, and yeah, various stuff. So if anyone wants them, come and find me. I'm actually by the first door, the farthest door. Currently, so yeah, please.
Awesome, thanks, Claudia. And I'm presuming you're not going to offer a set of steak knives or a set of mixing bowls with them. Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, my name's Andy.
Hi, Andy.
This is my first conference, and I've
welcome.
Enjoyed every moment of it. Thank you very much, Annette, and to the team. I come a bit late to the party with this whole. Guide Dog Association stuff. I only noticed it on through a mate of mine that said, you know, have you thought about looking at, because I was having some issues down home with not refusals as such, but we've got an unreliable train down home that breaks down a lot, and when that happens they send coaches. Unfortunately, Zorba and I don't fit on the coach. Oh. So every time that happens we get a taxi home. Which is really, really good. So I can't complain about the taxi service down home. It's only sort of when you get to the bigger city that it's an issue. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I come late to the party and he just suggested, hey, you know, have a look at this. And I did, and that's how I found you guys. I looked it up online. Oh. Otherwise, I would never have known about it. But I just wanted to
What an awesome story, Andy. Go on.
I just want to make a comment about my guide dog, Zorba, here. I'd had him no less than 3 weeks. And he saved my life.
Oh,
I was
nice.
Crossing a pedestrian crossing in my local town in Warrnambool. I'd finished work for the day, and this young lady decided to drive through the pedestrian crossing. Zorba pulled up. I didn't know what he was doing. He pulled up just as she got to the pedestrian crossing, and I just saw the flash of the car. Now, this young lady was obviously she was speeding, and there was a few other issues with her, but. Yeah, he's changed my life, and
oh,
I just
nice.
Wanted a positive story. So
yeah.
We've heard a lot this weekend, so, yeah, thank you.
I don't know, best story of the weekend, yeah. Award goes to Andy. Thank you so much. Totally. Andy, can I say, I live in Victoria, and when you said about your train breaking down all the time, this is so weird, but I actually thought of the Warrnambool train. I know, it's a bit scary. I feel your pain. I don't use that train, but, yeah, I know people that do, and it's horrible. Any other...
Yes, it's Rowena. Hey, I've got
Rowena.
A show and tell.
Oh, yay.
My new favourite bit of equipment, which is fantastic to use with a dog guide, but also for anyone with vision loss, whether you use a dog or a cane. I'm going to hand it around.
Do you think you're going to get it back?
Only on the provision that I get it back, please. So one of our sighted folk can keep an eye on it. It's called a companion cane. You can get it online through the... international travel organisation called Travel Eyes International. I can give anyone the website, but just Google Travel Eyes International. That's Travel EYES International. It's called a companion cane. It was bought out by designed and distributed by Amar Latif, who's the blind founder and owner of Travel Eyes International. They do fantastic international travel for people who are blind or vision impaired, with half the group being vision impaired and half being sighted. So you have a sighted guide in unknown areas and also somebody to give you a verbal description of what's around, which is great. But back to the companion cane. He designed it for COVID to keep a guide and their vision impaired person 1.5 metres apart. But it folds to go into a backpack. It wouldn't go into a handbag. It can be opened up, opening it now and clicking it into place. So it's half its length, but it's got two handles at either end, which you and the person you're guiding would hold the same as you would hold a guide dog harness. So the handle, you would just rest the handle on your fingertips. And it can be extended right up to 1.5 metres. So as a dog guide handler who also has a blind husband, we get lost in crowds if we're separated because the dog walks really fast and my husband walks much slower. So you can tow a person behind you with this and keep them perfectly safe. So the dog is still only working with one person wide, but the person behind you is safe on this, and they must use it in conjunction with their cane as well for safety. But your body is protecting them from forward obstacles and the dog's protecting you. And for people who are sighted, they can have a companion cane in each hand and guide up to 6 people, because you have a person on the outside of the cane, the next one on the inside of the cane, and the next one on the outside of the cane. So I hand it around. It's opened up to half length, but you'll see the handles at each end have a little flick lever, and if you flick those up, you'll see that you can extend the handle to any length that you want, anything between what it is now and up to 1.5 metres.
Please check your environment before you do that, in case indeed. You knock somebody out.
I was going to say, in most cases, you'd never use it at 1.5 metres, especially in busy pedestrian areas, because people would walk between you.
Ow.
But anyway, if somebody could hand that around. Companion cane, they're from Travelize International. They can be ordered online. They're £135, which equates to approximately just under $250 Australian. So it's the most expensive cane you'll ever buy. But it also really works well if you're bushwalking with a sighted guide and not your dog. You can have that. I mean, for me, bushwalking, hanging onto someone's arm is exhausting for me and the person that I'm walking with. But with the cane, you can have that extra distance between you. You both have your arms hanging by your side, which is a much more natural position to walk in. But because the companion cane is rigid, you also have that feedback for things like bushwalking.
Oh, thank well, you. Rowena, thank you. Yeah, well done. Anybody else?
It's Greg Madsen. Just a bit of a story, if I may. The things you learn with your first dog. My first dog was named Pollock. I'm on my third dog now. He was a very quiet dog. I was living by myself. I'm totally blind. And I decided one day I'd give him his first bath. So I was in the bathroom with him, and I took his collar off, the thing that jingles, so you know where he is. That was my first mistake.
Sensing a problem here.
Yeah. So then I had to find the shampoo, which I did find the shampoo, went back into the bathroom, couldn't find him. Wasn't in the bathroom, went around the whole house, looked around for about 3/4 of an hour, couldn't find him anywhere. Went back into the bathroom, and there he was sitting under the shower, which was running, just waiting, waiting to be scrubbed. So,
what a good boy.
Helpful hint, when you rely on that jingle jangle noise, make sure that's on your dog at all times, unless you know exactly where they are.
So it's Nicole, and I've bought something for show and tell too. So something that I've started to do with my dog is, I don't know if people know, but at places like Joyce Main, and JB Hi-Fi, places like that, you can now buy electric, like they're plastic, and they're a button, and you can program the button to say a word. And so the dog, you can teach your dog to come up and push his nose or his paw on the button when it wants whatever it is that you... So. Well, the one I've brought with me today. So this is a way. No. That's the one you don't ever do with a lab, because otherwise they'll just push that till the cows come home. And you need the dog to start to understand that you're actually trying to communicate with him. So it's not just a click and treat thing. And so the one I've brought, when you press it, you'll hear my voice say strip. And what we mean by that is that I've got a back strip out the back of my home. That's a nice grassy area. There's only a few homes along, and it's just a lovely little area right down to the water where the dog can just have a little bit of a free run and a free play under supervision. And so anytime Olsen wants to go and play on the strip now, he can come up and nudge this particular button and tell me that he would like to go and play on the strip. But, you know, you can train your dog, like, outside, like if you want to know for toileting or... You know, there's just so many. You're only limited by your imagination. You could teach the dog the word groom or play or love, like patting or toy, or just so many potentials. There's actually online tutorials and stuff. People who've there's a dog called Bunny, and Bunny has 151 different buttons that she can push, so she can actually make whole sentences, like. And I saw one and said, Bunny. So she pushed the button and said, Bunny, go upstairs, find cat, play. So, like, you can literally, if you, over time, yeah. So I'll pass the button around. And
so I'm thinking things like wage rise. Carrots. Feed me. Like, you've been a right pain in the butt today. So, I'm not working for you anymore. Like, I can imagine.
How dare you?
Here, I'll make that. We'll get it on. Did everybody hear that?
Strip.
Oh, yeah.
So, strip. So it's Olsen's cue to say he wants to go play on the back strip outside of my. Yeah. And so, this is a starter pack of four that you buy, and I think it was only about $50 or something for the four of them. But you can add more. You can buy more and more buttons if you want. So anyway, so I'll start passing this one around.
What are they called?
I will have to look that up.
Nicole, if you could maybe look that up and send the details through to, dare I say, Annette, maybe, you know, we could share it. Or if you wanted to put it up on the DGHA Facebook page, that might be good too.
So I will. I'll look it up and I will post.
Nicole, you should have my email address, because I've sent about 50 emails over the weekend. Just reply to one of them, any one of them, with the details.
It's Diane here. Thanks. On the side of that little switch, it says learning resources and hunger for words. So assuming the product is called Hunger for Words.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome. Has anybody else got anything to share, to talk to us about?
This is Steph here. I thought I would share a nice positive story about my wonderful dogs. I have Misa here, but I also have Gypsy at home, my first guide dog. And anyway, whenever I go away or have to leave for the day, you know, Gypsy sort of mopes at the door, sits at the door all day, waiting. Come on, hurry up, come back home.
Aww.
And anyway, and then when we come back home, those dogs, like, I let Misha off her harness and everything, and those dogs, they just circle around and around and around, and they lick me and they nudge me and they all over, you know. Well, probably about 5 minutes, literally just all over me like a rash, you know. And every time I get up to, like, you know, feed them, you know, those lovely dogs, like, they follow me. So when I have a shower, I have Gypsy, she stays in the doorway, and Misa, she sits outside the shower until I'm done.
Dogs are the nicest people, aren't they?
And they're just such good company, like when hubby goes away. I have to say, when I got my first dog, I was not an animal person. I used to think people were really crackers, you know, when they thought that dogs were, you know, companions, and that, you know, I couldn't get why they were so sort of heartbroken when the dog died. Well, now I'm dreading it when Gypsy goes, and I'm like, oh, you know, I can get it now. And I mean, I love my dogs and, yeah. So that's my story.
Thank you so much for sharing. Anybody else?
I think I'm up. Nina.
Hey.
I just firstly want to thank DGHA for an amazing conference. I just think it's been a fabulous couple of days and I know I can imagine, only imagine how much work went into it. So whoever's involved in it, go you. And the other thing, I just wanted to follow up what Rowena was saying about that Travelize cane thing. I use it, I've got bad balance, and I use it with my carer Mel to walk around the oval to get some speed up between she hangs onto it and I walk really fast that way, and Nixon gets his run on the free run on the oval, so it's absolutely fabulous. So, yeah, that's all.
Excellent. Can I just interrupt? El Presidente has overridden anybody else. No, she has requested. She's going to yell at me. She's requested just a bit of speak time.
Only quick. Is Sue Nichols still in the room? You are. Can I share your email ID that you just emailed to me? Yep. Okay, so Sue has emailed me this really good idea, which we are going to take on board, if my phone will work. Sorry. So Sue has this idea, and going back to the session with Buck earlier, that hotels could have a sign. Actually, not hotels. I think the idea would be that dog guide handlers could give... these signs to the schools to give to handlers when they get a dog, that you hang on your door when you're staying in a motel, and the sign would say something like, sorry, I should have just read the email, shouldn't I? Would say something like, dog guide staying in this room also sleeps in the room, just so that people know that there's a dog in the room. Fabulous idea. Thank you, Sue. And, yeah, I think we'll take that on board. We're actually planning to get in touch with schools more to get the word out there about DGHA to new handlers and to existing handlers. So this is something that we could, you know, potentially offer as well.
And it's got to be in Braille and printed too.
Yes.
I put that in the email.
Braille and large print. Oh, did you? Okay.
I love that idea.
Yes, you did too. Braille and large print as well. Thanks, Sue.
That's an excellent idea. That's got to be the best idea for the weekend, I reckon. Yep. Let's vote that one. Yay. Okay, next.
Hi, this is Anna G, from speaking earlier today. I just wanted to say, you know, for those of you who were at the dinner last night and heard Harry mention that, you know, hey, I remember when Anna turned up in 2009, she wasn't a very good dog trainer.
No dog skills.
So if anyone listened to my talk today and thought, gee, that there's a lot of great stuff in there, or if anyone sees me working with them and their dog and say, hey, like, I really like that stuff, this could be you as well. You know, if you feel like, oh, hey, I don't know that much, or, you know, well, I can't be there, we all can. This is, you know, this is only human skills, which I have learned over practice and years and learning. So I just wanted to point that out, that it... that, you know, that this is stuff which is open to everyone. So that's my point.
Thank you, Anna. And it, yeah, I agree.
I think it's Blind John again. I just want to ask about that wonderful cane thing that's floating around. Could I use that to do another motorbike record? I'm just wondering, you know, two of us side by side.
Oh, my God. I think that's way beyond our capacity to answer that question, Blind John. Any other questions, comments? Can I just jump in? I don't know if anyone from Staple Working Dog is still here.
No, they left.
I thought they all left. Damn. I have a lead that I brought from them that is made of biothane, and it is
kind of feels like thin leather, but sort of a bit smoother, and it is an amazing piece of equipment that I found that is much more flexible. I don't know if anybody's had, you know, when you get your first, or if you have leather harnesses, leather leads, you got to kind of wear them in, and they're stiff and horrible, and they still don't wear in, and then they get all sweaty and blur, and then if they get wet, they get even more sweaty and blur. But this is like really strong material. I read on the website that it has the strength of, I don't know, an elephant or something, but I'm probably exaggerating. It's pretty strong, but it's pretty pliable and it's pretty strong, and they have leads in all groups. Like, I've got a red one because it makes her go faster. But, well, really it doesn't. But it's just a really good dog lead. That's all I wanted to share.
It's Nicole, and I just want to add on to what Nadia has just said. I've actually bought myself two of the biothane leads and from a company online, and you can get them custom done, and there's like about 24 different colour choices. So I actually had mine. Mine are predominantly red, but with black accent pieces, so that it actually matches the Julius, red and black Julius harness. So, yeah, you can actually get them in all sorts of colour combinations. You can get yellow, purple, red, orange... just pretty much any colour combination under the stars you can think of. So, yeah, and mine, I think they were $55 each because I paid a bit of extra money to get stainless steel fittings and fixtures on it so it won't rust. But, yeah, if anybody cares, yeah, $55. And, yeah, about 24 different colour combinations. So you can just have one solid colour for the whole thing, or you can have an accent colour like what I did.
Biothane? I think there's a web. If you look up Biothane, there's an Australian distributor, but also if you contact Staple Working Dogs. They didn't have them here this weekend. I told them they should have. But they're just excellent leads.
I'm just about to go into my emails and tell you exactly where those leads Nicole was just mentioning from, because I ordered myself a pink one this morning, mind you. So... give me a sec.
There's a company in Patterson Lakes in Victoria, you can actually go and see them. But I'm trying to find its name.
I'm still looking. Where is it? But I do know it is the, on that site, it is the, what is it, the Biophane Multi Lead at the 120 centimetres if you have a guide dog's. Or at least Guide Dogs New South Wales ACT lead, like I do on my dog at the moment. So, where is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you put it in the email and so Annette can send it out?
Yeah.
Yep.
People are not going to remember.
Yep.
Yeah. No, send them. And maybe we can hear from someone while you're looking, Kirsten.
It's Diana here, and I just wanted to ask if anyone knows if there are available in Australia or internationally collars that have a chain piece that is made of either nylon or polycarbonate or something like that, and leashes the same, so that when we go through airport security, we don't set all the alarms off and we can go through with our dog.
I just found it. It's TCR Canine Wear is the one where it's
okay,
from.
We'll put that in an email,
yeah.
Kirsten.
Yeah.
Thanks. I think that's... I can't remember who was talking.
Diane.
I think that's a fantastic idea. I don't know if my harness would set the alarms off, but that's a really good idea. Collar... without metal on it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a collar and a leash piece and a harness that's predominantly got plastic or polyurethane or nylon fastening, so that when you go through airport security, you're not going to be setting off alarms and you won't be sort of patted down every time you walk through the security gate, because it's just such a makes travelling unpleasant.
I feel like this could be something like, I don't know how many of you go to markets, and there was one on this morning, I didn't go. But I feel like it could be something that, like, you often get people who make dog collars and dog leads. I'm wondering whether there's anybody knows somebody who does that kind of stuff and they could work on something like that if it wasn't available, because I can see the potential.
And also just on the airport security thing, that is something that we have brewing away in the background. There's a bit of work that needs to be done there. We started last year by having some input into the training package that is used to train airport staff. It's not going to, again, I'm sick of saying this, but and I know nobody wants to hear it, it won't happen overnight, but it will happen. We are, you know, working on getting some consistent regulations and, yeah, having input into how airport security staff treat us. And it's not only us who get the bad treatment. I've heard lots of horror stories about amputees who have to, you know, remove their prosthetic leg, you know, to go through airport security, which is just horrendous. So it's not just us, and DGHA are aware of this issue, and we are hoping to get some action there sometime soon. Thanks.
Go DGHA. Yeah.
DGHA.
I couldn't say it. It's late in the afternoon.
They're dogs, not horses.
DGHA. I've always wanted a guide horse. Any other comments?
Yeah, it's Kathy speaking. I just want to say thank you to everybody behind the scenes. Thank you to everybody that, you know, particularly volunteers and all the little things that we as participants don't really kind of know. There's been months and months and months of planning behind the scenes. Lots of people have done heaps. And I know they have. And I know there's probably a little tiny bit of improvement that probably everybody's going to say something or whatever. Doesn't matter. We've joined together. We've been fantastic. I was a bit apprehensive coming, and I'll be very honest. It's the second time, unfortunately, I've come to this wonderful conference without a dog. But guess what, guys? I've been so overwhelmed by the kindness and everybody, and it just didn't matter. We're all in the same boat, and we've all talked dog stuff, and it's just been great. And I've had secret pats. It's been so cool.
You mean you've distracted our working dogs?
So thank you very, very much. And I actually really mean it. I really do. Thank you.
Oh. Any more comments? I think we're coming to the end of this session. There is still a little bit of time, but we're happy to finish early if you want to go and, I don't know, go to the bar. Any other comments?
Word.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I just took Nicole's button down to the bar just to see how it went down there, and when I pushed it, the barmaid slapped me across the face.
Oh, God, didn't I know that would come from you?
Oh.
No, you're still busy finding your poo harness. Oh, for God's sake, somebody find blind John's poo harness. Even his dog's one too. Is there anybody other who has any other comments? Awesome. So,
one last comment.
Cool. Sorry, thank you. No.
There, it's Nina again.
It's okay,
Nina. I have just looked up the metal free lead. And that one of the DGHA members uses and recommends. I will email Annette and she can email you all out. I just wanted to say one thing about airport security, and we all know it, but even people that have metal-free everythings go through the I've got to be patted down thing. And it's very frustrating, but try and take a deep breath, because unfortunately security at the moment are not trained. Until they are trained to deal with it, we have to cop a lot of,
And they have very conflicting rules to work by as well. So be patient. I know some of them are horrible. I've had them yell at me too. But their set of rules or their information comes from several places, and it's all conflicting. So we kind of have to have a bit of understanding for them because, you know, they don't have very clear guidelines. So.
Except I had stuff stolen because I was taking so long to get through security that they stole three of my son's wings out of the tray. So
can we get a mic? Do you need a mic?
There are several reasons why it's really frustrating, and the biggest one I faced was I went to Sydney in December, and when we left, we went through security. I had to go through the separate gate. My son was very concerned about me and wasn't watching the trays as closely as he could have, and he had three valuable rings that were stolen out of the tray. And when I talked to the security people, they all said, well, it's not our problem. So it's not just about the dogs. It's about the peripheral stuff that goes
on.
Thanks
for sharing that. Anything else? Any other comments?
Yeah, just, Steph again, one last comment about the airport security. I think that... the risk of, you know, offending or whatever, I think everyone should, if possible, they should not. I have actually started just not doing it. Like, I started standing up to it and saying, well, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, I know there are some travellers who have to do it, but the majority don't, and I don't see why I should have to do something that the majority of travellers don't do. And I started standing up to it and saying, no, I'm not going through it. I'm happy to have the wand or whatever, but you're not going to pat me down. That's really invasive. And also, I'd like to say, you know, if you're an abuse survivor or something, that's extremely triggering to have to go through something like that. I'm not putting up with it anymore.
Thanks, Steph. Any other comments?
Yes. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, it's Karen from Perth here. We haven't touched on one topic, and I don't want to open a big can of worms.
But you're going to, aren't you?
I am.
Then don't lie.
I'm that type.
Say it as it is.
In Perth, and I don't know about the other cities, we share footpaths with these machines that make no noise, but they come past very quickly. And the only way I can deal with them on the road that's nearest the university where I live is to have the dog on one side and a white cane on the other. And then they actually have to ring a little bell and we move aside and say, thank you. But in other areas, of course, I'm not using my cane. They give me the fright of my life. And I'm just wondering, has worked out a way that they can move around a little bit more safely with these things flying past? Because they're a bit scary.
There's a lot to say for e-devices that travel. I think the answer is a resounding no. I mean, I know there's, at the risk of dobbing in organisations like Blind Citizens Australia, I know there's some work there. I know that some of the big organisations, the bigger blindness agencies are doing some work. I don't know what that work looks like, but I've seen stuff. So I really... no, Karen. Mike.
Sorry, no advice for getting past them while they're travelling. But the other one, which I discovered last night, is our lovely electric scooters parked in the middle of the footpath.
Oh, come to Melbourne. Come to Melbourne.
I discovered that one last night and I'm like, oh, and it was lucky. Who was it? Jason was with me at the time and he actually told me what it was. But, yep. like... come on, guys. Can't we? I don't understand why the middle of the path is a good parking spot. Like, you don't go, well, unless you're silly, you usually don't park your car in the middle of, say, a road. Like, there's spots. So why would you park your e-scooter in the middle of the footpath? Just my thoughts.
Thank you. It's Erica here. Back to Diana's issue of airport pat-down securities. I'm dogless. I was patted down. So were other women at the airport. It's not specifically disability-related.
Mm.
I was wearing the hidden disability sunflower lanyard, and I still got patted down.
Yep. Just to stir the pot, the Lime scooters is owned by Uber. So.
Stop.
Lime scooters are owned by Uber. Yeah.
Stop. That company who shall not be mentioned, the Voldemort of, I don't know, DGH of dog guide handlers or something.
Yeah. Hi. Two things I'd like to say. This is my first conference here in Australia. I've been involved very much in Ireland with the conferences. But two things I'd like to say. First of all, I came through the airport in Sydney on, what day did we come? Thursday. And I had no issues whatsoever. My dog went through in front of me and I followed her in full harness with her collar, her bell and everything on her. And when we went through, all they did was wand us around with this one thing. That's all they did and sent us forward. And the other thing I want to say is, because we on the Central Coast with the taxis have no issues whatsoever. We ring our taxis and the first thing they will say, if they know you, and you use the I use the taxi 2 and 3 times a week. And the first thing they'll say is, will you have your puppy dog with you? Or if somebody that doesn't know my number, I tell them. And we don't have any issues whatsoever. And I have got into taxis and I've said to the driver when they come up to the house, is it okay if I sit in the front? Of course, you are allowed in the front, your dog at your feet, that's the law. So
and can you tell us why that is, Angela? There's more to that story. You're always out in the community.
I'm out in the community. I do a huge amount of work for voluntary for guide dogs, huge amount of fundraising. We have a lovely committee on the coast where we do a lot of fundraising for guide dogs. And I'm out there, you know, in the community with the Provost groups and all that. And another thing that often happens to me, because there are a lot of children homeschool on the Central Coast, I walk in the park every single day for about an hour, and I'd often hear children coming up saying, look at this lovely puppy, and I know. So I will stop, and I will take the harness off, and I will say, come and have a pat. And I just say to them then, it's a brilliant way of getting children around. I explain exactly what my dog is, why she has a harness, why you don't touch her. And the parents that are with those children will often say, they don't need any education today. They've got it. So, and I just, that's my, you know, and you know, I don't know whether it's my Irish accent or not, but that's my, I honestly, I've come out to Australia 14 years ago, and from the day I put my foot on the soil in Australia, I've never had an issue with guide dogs around my area or anyone else. I know you have issues because I read it on the website and all that, and my heart goes out to some of you with what you have to put up with. But we on the Central Coast don't.
But Angela, is that ticking suitcase you carry
on your list? So yeah. I think
and
from
one
that
other story I'll just tell. I don't know whether Buck is here or not. But I went on one. I often have gone on day trips with him, but I went on a day trip about a year ago. We were to go. I don't know where we were to go. But anyhow, we did a walk through the national park and we ended up over at the Three Sisters. But on the route through, we had to come to these steps that we had to walk up. And, of course, Piper wouldn't go up the steps because the steps were little holes on. So Buck had to carry Piper up the stairs and down the stairs.
Thank you, Angela. I think from that we all are moving to the Central Coast. Look out for an influx of dogs, Angela.
Another place you can go is Maitland. Diggers Maitland taxis. No problems whatsoever.
And Hamburg.
Absolutely zero. I can ring up. and they just take, doesn't matter, I often, if I get into more trouble if I don't take the dog, honestly. So, Diggers Maitland taxis in Maitland, awesome.
Oh, and I think Angela has, in her first story, there's a second message there too. I'm trying to think of the saying. What is it? You catch more flies with honey.
Yeah.
Be nice to people.
Any other comments, questions, story?
Okay.
Hands up.
Okay. Oh, Amanda?
No, there's no hands up.
Okay, no hands up. So this is the end of the conference. I'm going to say thank you to DGHA for organising this conference. Everybody on the committee, especially the main committee, well done. Do you want to say something? And I'll pass you over to our illustrious president.
Thank you, everyone. I've heard lots of really good comments this weekend, and I'm just assuming everyone's had as good a time as I have. I think our committee have thoroughly enjoyed organising this get-together. Thank you to our volunteers who have been run off their feet all weekend, running around with microphones, helping people with holding dogs and toileting dogs and getting food and cups of tea and all of that sort of thing. And I might add, many of the people who've been helping this weekend, I didn't sort of invite them to help, but thank you for stepping up and helping. And I think that's what this conference is about, is it's an all hands on deck kind of affair. And I know, you know, from conferences past, we all do get in and help each other out. So thank you all for participating in that. And one more thing.
Anna's workshop is going to be in this room tomorrow.
Oh, if you've booked in for Anna's workshop, it's going to be in this room tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And if you would still like to book in, there are watching positions still available. I think they're $40. Send me an email. I can send you Anna's email address and details if you'd like to book in. I'm really looking forward to that workshop tomorrow. So thank you, everybody. Safe travels home. And, thank you.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website, www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?